Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Thank you, Jimmy Lakey. And that number is good, live at 1 o'clock every day, Monday through Thursday, 1-866-917-7256. And welcome to Call to Freedom. It truly was for freedom that Jesus set you free. You're listening right now, wherever you're listening, you are free in Jesus. And may God rekindle or make alive or bring a great fire, the passion in your dreams, and fill you with the desire to see them come true. I have a little bottle in my kitchen on the counter, and it's like a little milk bottle. It's just so cute. Darren got it years ago, and all it has on it is dream. And every once in a while, I look at that dream, and do you have a dream today? I have a dream. I have a dream to see every believer into the Word of God every day of their life. That's my dream. That's right. So that we will be not only ready to see Jesus Christ, but prepared on every front to see him and to bless his name and to know that he is coming soon. Oh, such a wonderful, wonderful dream that we all would know him on a level that is such a pure level and an insightful level and a revelation level. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that today. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And thank you for giving to Call to Freedom. You are just such a blessing to me. You have not only listened daily, but you are now contributing to Good Ground Ministry. And I appreciate it so much. If you want to go online, you can go to freedomstreet.org, click on donate, and you can give online. I've been getting more and more people donating online, so thank you so much. Just want to remind you, our next regular Call to Freedom meeting is on Saturday, March 11th. And I hope you'll join us either at breakfast at 8:30 or Bible study at 10 o'clock. God has been so good to keep you safe and protected from harm. I pray for you every day, just as Psalm 91 reminds us. I'll give you more information next week, so circle March 11th and come. That number again is 1-866-917-7256 if you'd like to make a reservation early. Our memory verse for this week has been Luke 12, verse 15. Jesus is saying here, beware, be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Your life isn't your possessions. Your life is who you belong to, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And the Amplified translation in Luke 12, verse 15 says, guard yourselves. That means put up a fortress around yourself so that when temptation comes, you won't give in. Guard yourselves and keep free from all covetousness, the immoderate desire for wealth and the selfish longing to have more. And that's one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Thou shalt not covet. For a man's life does not consist in and is not derived from possessing overflowing abundance or that which is over and above his needs. That's right. God bless you for being aware of those temptations. I know some of us have weaknesses. We do. We desire something. Maybe we've grown up being poor and we desire better things, and that's okay. But don't make that the focal point of your daily existence or your life. It's so important to know that. The Passion Translation of Luke 12, verse 15, and Jesus is speaking to the people here, be alert and guard your heart from greed and always wishing for what you don't have. Always wishing for what you don't have. Be content in what you have, for your life can never be measured by the amount of things you possess. When you die, who will get all the wealth you have stored up for yourself? Well, you can say my children and grandchildren. Maybe it's going to be not, you're not going to be able to give those to your children and grandchildren for some reason. I remember my aunt in California, when her husband died, the estate tax took so much that she was almost destitute, and they have a beautiful home, but estate tax took almost all the money. So you never know. You don't. So, you know, in yourself, just add up those things that you know are going to count for Jesus Christ, and that is your witness of Jesus Christ on this earth. Praise the Lord. Confession for today, I confess that I need to set aside time for relaxation and recreation. Starting today, I'm going to take a break from my problems. Yes, I am. I am casting my burdens on the Lord. As a result, I know I will be refreshed, recharged, and given a renewed vision. A renewed vision, that's your dream. After a little rest, I will see my challenge with new eyes, and I'll face it with new strength. I know my survival depends on this. So today, I choose to take a break from the constant stress I've been dealing with before I get worn down. That's from your body and even in your mind. You just get burned out and become easy prey for the devil. God will give me the strength and energy I need to get up and get going so I can complete the work he has entrusted into my hands. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Rick Renner. And 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 through 10 in the Passion says, "It is right and just for God to trouble your troublers and give rest to you." That, I like that. He's troubling my troublers. If you have troublers, people that cause you indigestion, people that cause you problems in your life, mental anguish, if you have those kind of people in your life, God is troubling them. Yes, he is. Oh, I like that translation. And 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10 in the New Living Translation, "And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus." They're unbelievers. They don't believe. They don't believe there's a Jesus. They don't believe there's a hell. They really don't believe hardly anything, just what they want to believe. "They will be punished with eternal destruction." There is a hell, friends. "Forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe." Oh, I'm going to praise him. Yes, I am. I praise him now, but boy, I'm going to praise him when I see him. Oh, I'm going to fall down at his feet and praise his wonderful name. And this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. And in Matthew 11, verse 28, it says, "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis." In the desert, and we don't have a lot of desert, we have prairie here. But in the desert in northern Africa, there are places where there are palm trees and it's like a pond, a little oasis. It's a bit of water there that they can come and drink. That's what an oasis is. Simply join your life with mine. That's union with Jesus Christ. Learn my ways and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, and easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you, all that Jesus requires of you, will be pleasant and easy to bear, delightful. I love that, don't you? All you need to do is get some belief going. Get some belief in your system going. Think of the things that he has done for you in your life. Build that up. We're going to talk about that today, about increasing your faith. Yes, he's given you a measure of faith, but now you've got to increase it because he's going to bring bigger tests for you, bigger opportunities to exercise that faith. Yesterday, as I was reading in Luke 17, thinking about that mulberry tree. He talks about pulling up a mulberry tree and then planting it elsewhere. I realized it takes faith to live our lives making decisions that are pleasing to God. And often it takes great faith to step aside from the advice of the world. Yep, we get it from all sides. If you listen to TV at all, you're getting slammed. I mean, slammed with all of these things that say you can have a better life. You can have a interest-free life. You can have a life that is full of joy. And all you have to do is buy this product or sign up for this or that. And it just drives you really nuts after a while, after you've listened for so long. So it just takes great faith to step away from all that and listen to the voice of wisdom that's right inside of you. Occasionally, it takes more faith than we might think that we are capable of having. A good example of this is when Jesus discussed the forgiving of others who have mistreated and offended us in some way multiple times. Now, this is in Luke 17, right before he gets to the mulberry tree. And I'm thinking, whoa, why is he talking about that then? It's because, friend, if you don't forgive in an area of your life and only you know, that faith is not going to be able to burst forth and increase in your life. And Jesus is saying here, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you, how many times a day? 7 times a day. And returns to you 7 times saying, I repent. What do? You forgive him. That's Luke 17, 3 and 4. Now, Jesus didn't say it would be easy to do such a thing, because he himself would face in just a short while the accusations and beatings and be able to say, Father, forgive them. So Jesus knew all about this forgiveness thing. He really did. And we cannot forgive on our own. The apostles were overwhelmed with the difficulty of such a task as forgiving a penitent brother 7 times. Oh, he's done it already. He's going to do it again. I can't stand being around him. He's always doing something stupid. And then he asks for forgiveness. And I don't know how many times I can forgive him. Well, how about 490 times? Jesus is saying every time he asks forgiveness, you as a brother with mercy and grace, as God has given you mercy and grace, you forgive him. The only thing they could think was, God, Lord Jesus, increase our faith. That's all they could say, because they knew they couldn't do that on their own. And Jesus then said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And that's Luke 17, 5 and 6. It follows right after that forgiveness package. Whoa, wow. Those are very challenging things. This is a very interested subject to bring up in the face of them asking the Lord to increase their faith. Now, I looked up mulberry tree because it's really interesting for me. The word translated mulberry tree signifies literally weeping. And it's weeping because it distills balsam or gum out of the trunk of the tree. And some translators say it was a sycamore tree, which grows up to be about 35 feet. I don't know if sycamore releases the gum or the balsam, though. So I don't know. And they said it could be also an aspen. Now, aspen gets real sticky, but it's not distilling balsam and gum. Well, why did he use mulberry tree? Why, Lord Jesus, did you include mulberry tree here? It was probably a very common plant there, and they were just walking along, and Jesus used it as an example. The apostles were exactly right that such an attitude requires great faith, but Jesus was implying they had faith. They had faith. They simply needed to use it. That's why he said, if you have faith like a mustard seed. Do you know how small a mustard seed is? And he knew that if they believed in him and they were walking with him and they gave up their families to be with him, they had faith. They just needed to use it. And see, we get so comfortable in this life. Everything's done for us. We have everything given to us. We know exactly where the gas station is, where we need to gas up, where our grocery store is, where we need to get groceries. Everything is pretty easy. And so we need to ask Jesus to give us faith in spite of our comfortable being. Jesus illustrated the power of faith by pointing out a mulberry tree in the vicinity and telling his disciples that with the proper faith, they could tell it to go plant itself in the sea and it would do so. You mean, Lord, that we can speak to living or inanimate objects and they will obey? the resounding answer is yes. You've gone, for instance, you've gone by property that was poorly maintained, and you can be sure the owner does not pay attention to his yard. When I go into my yard at the beginning of the spring or later on in the spring, I'm talking to those trees. I know. Some of you think that is very odd. No, it really isn't. Do you talk to your indoor plants? I do. I talk to them. I tell them how beautiful they're making my living room look or my room where they are planted. And so you've gone by those places and you see it totally in disrepair. Jesus said you could speak to a mountain. And that's in Mark 11:23. A mountain. It's not living. It's dirt and rocks and stones. It's not things on the mountain are growing, but not the mountain itself. And so you've heard people say that they bought a lemon of a vehicle. Every day I pat the dashboard of my Highlander and say it's running so well, and I thank the Lord for giving me such a great vehicle. Every time I put clothes in my Speed Queen washer, I pat that machine and say, Lord, thank you for giving me such a good washer. I do the same with my refrigerator. Do you realize that your refrigerator runs 24/7 every day, all day? Now, my refrigerator is about 25 years old, so that's a long time to be running. That's performance. And I tell it, you are performing so well. You're doing such a great job. Every time I open that door, I say that. Oh, Barbara, you're strange. I don't believe so. I believe that we have those positive thoughts towards what we are diligent in maintaining in this life. God will keep it safe. And they will work for so many years, more years than expected. I'm believing that. I'm sure if you would be honest and transparent that you would realize that some of the things you own, you have had indifferent thoughts about them. You just go buy them and you just use them and you never think about it. As an example of speaking to the mountains or the mulberry tree, Jesus was saying that your words are powerful. And the illustration of the obedient mulberry tree may have been descriptive of the anointing and power that the disciples were to receive, and they would receive it later, praise God. Now, there is an example of speaking to an inanimate object during Jeroboam's wicked reign over Israel. And he was standing beside the altar to burn incense. This is ungodly practice. And there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. And he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord. He spoke to that altar. This is in 1 Kings 13, verse 2. O altar, O altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David, and upon you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense upon you, and human bones will be burned upon you. Now, in 2 Kings 23, verse 15, this prophecy was fulfilled when King Josiah broke in pieces the altar that had been used for ungodly, defiled sacrifices. And in 2 Kings 23, 15 through 16, it says, then King Josiah tore down the altar at Bethel, the pagan shrine that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had made when he caused Israel to sin. He burned down the shrine and ground it to dust. This happened just as the Lord had promised through the man of God in 1 Kings 13, verse 2, when Jeroboam stood beside the altar at the festival. Then Josiah turned and looked at the tomb of the man of God who had predicted these things. I'll tell you, things in the Bible, I believe, can be true today. I don't believe it's just a history of things. I believe God has put those stories in the Bible to increase our faith. Understanding the love of God and the wonderful eternal life-giving benefits he offers us by his grace and our need for these benefits will motivate us to increase our faith. We will need to know where faith comes from, that faith, our faith comes from God and his love letter to us. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you know where that is? That's in Romans 10, verse 17. You need to know that reference. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you speak forth every day from the word of God, you are going to be increasing in your faith. Oh, Lord, make us vessels of honor for you. Here's the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Friends, there is a need for a faith great enough to do the hard things discipleship demands us to do. And it's going to be a greater challenge before Jesus comes back. And there is a need for a greater faith in God's power. We can't do it on our own. The disciples knew that in Luke 17. But there's a greater faith that we need to get into God's power. It's just so important. How can I even word this? We need to increase our faith. It takes powerful faith to make powerful and successful disciples. We need great faith because we're saved by faith. That's Ephesians 2:8. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. And we live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the foundation of our confidence and assurance, and it is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 5, verse 4 says, whatever is born of God, you're born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, your faith, and my faith. Can you imagine the combination of that on this earth working together? The power of God coming down. Oh, such a great, marvelous faith. Oh, God bless you richly. And Darren and I are going to be on the radio tomorrow. Be wonderfully encouraged and assured that God loves you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.